Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. As always, great to answer your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Patricia listening in New York, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I recently heard a teaching, and in the teaching, the person said that not only did Christ die on the cross physically, but that he died spiritually. And this seems almost inconceivable to me. And I'm wondering what you think about that.
Well, Jesus died physically when he said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" This is not an indication that he died spiritually. In fact, Jesus there is bringing to our remembrance Psalm 22, and what's beautiful is not only that that psalm starts out with these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? But when you get to verse 24, it says, "But he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help." So obviously, God had not forsaken David, and as verse 24 makes plain, he had not forsaken Jesus either. But this is typical of the Psalms in that there's a contrast between emotional despair and faith in God. And we can imagine quite easily that Jesus, who voluntarily took on the limitations of humanity, would have had within his active consciousness a real feeling of being forsaken by the Father because he was bearing in his body the sins of the world. But this in no shape or form should suggest some kind of an ontological break in the Godhead. There was none, for Jesus was not sin, but the sin offering, and he was as such a sweet-smelling savor unto God. And remember what Jesus said when he died, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." So again, we cannot in any way assume that there's an ontological break in the Godhead.
Thank you. I felt that way myself. I found this almost inconceivable to believe, and I thank you for that answer.
You got it, Patricia. Thank you for calling. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Greg, listening in Surrey, British Columbia, Canada, K-A-R-I. Hi, Greg.
I have a friend who we've been going sort of back and forth on theistic evolution. He's a Christian, but is taking evolution as God's way of creating everything, I presume through old Earth, and millions of years, and he's sending me links from my organization, BioLogos, and I wonder if you have some background on them. I'm just looking at the link was sent to me, and it was founded by Dr. Francis Collins. He's a geneticist. He uncritically accepts evolution over millions of years. And another fellow who's on video there, Leonard van der Zee, in a little clip they do, he says basically salvation is about becoming human, where they believe that man evolved and there's all these millions of years of humanoids until you get to supposedly a group of people called Adam and Eve who have the conscious ability to relate to God, and that's who God starts to relate to personally.
Sure. Well, here's the problem. First of all, no matter how many billions of years you give evolution, you could not have life as we have it today based on the evolutionary paradigm. But a growing number of Christian thinkers really are saying precisely what BioLogos is saying, that Adam and Eve didn't really exist. It's really not how it happened. So what they say is and by the way, Francis Collin was tapped by President Obama to be director of the National Institutes of Health. But in his view, science dictates that modern humans emerged from primates 100,000 years ago in a population numbering some 10,000, not two.
Yeah, about 150,000 years ago or something.
Yeah, and not only that, but according to Biologos biblical expert Peter Enns, the Bible itself invites a symbolic reading of the account of the first man and woman, and thus, you know, he would come down on the idea that Adam and Eve were merely allegorical. And here's the problem from my perspective. I would say there are three major problems. First of all, they staunchly defend Darwinian evolution, but their views hardly correspond to reality because Darwin hung his hopes on hundreds of thousands of transitional forms leading to the fossil of the Cambrian explosion. But in reality, the poverty of the fossil record has been an embarrassment because virtually all known body plans appear abruptly in the Cambrian radiation. So this Cambrian radiation actually vaporizes the Darwinian tree of life. It uproots it. The second point I would make is that Scripture plainly opposes the collective rhetoric of theistic evolutionists like Francis Collins and company who deny the reality of the historical Adam and Eve. Because Paul makes very, very clear, from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. So sacred scripture in concert with sound science makes plain that kinds reproduce according to their kinds, and had the first Adam not fallen into a life of perpetual sin terminated by death, there'd be no need for God to send a second Adam. And Paul was very emphatic about this. Since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And then there's a third point I would make. Our Savior's words ought to cast a pall on all Adam and Eve deniers. Because what does Jesus say? He says, at the beginning, the Creator made the male and female. And lest one be tempted to allegorize the words of our Lord, it is instructive to note that Jesus further affirmed a historical in Adam and Eve because he referred to the murder of their son Abel. And not only that, but think about this. Luke, writing to a primarily Gentile audience, extends his genealogy past Abraham to the first Adam, and he thus highlights Christ, the second Adam, as the Savior of all of humanity. And if that should prove insufficient, go to Chronicles. It provides a historical record from Adam to the exile. And likewise, starting at Genesis 5, Moses gives the written account of Adam's line. So I think to allegorize Adam and Eve is a huge, huge mistake. And they start with that mistake, and by starting with that mistake, they really shake the foundation of the biblical paradigm. But the bottom line is, look, the evolutionary paradigm simply does not square with the real world in which we live, and no matter how much time we allot to the evolutionist
forms,
all
that stuff. Yeah. Okay, thank you, sir.
You got it. The fossil record simply says no, and I think the whole idea of theistic evolution is ill-founded. It really does not square well with the world in which we live. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Vicki. She's listening in Indiana, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Vicki.
Do you think there's just one true religion?
Well, absolutely. I think that there's one true religion. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Peter said concerning Jesus that salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to humankind by which we must be saved. So there is only one way of salvation. There's only one true religion. And quite frankly, think about this. If you take all of the world's religions, they all have something in common. They're all man's attempt to reach up and become acceptable to God through what they do. Christianity is diametrically opposite to that. It is God reaching down, providing for us a way that we could not provide for ourselves. So Christianity has to do with God reaching down. All other religions have to do with human beings reaching up. So the true religion is a religion in which we can never be acceptable to God because we are sinful in thought, word, and deed. And so Jesus does what we cannot do. And by receiving him, we have a righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You got it. And when you begin to examine world religions such as Judaism or Hinduism or Buddhism, you'll immediately recognize that they directly contradict one another. For example, Moses taught that there was only one God. Krishna believed in many gods. Buddha was agnostic with respect to God. So what can we say about that is that, well, logically they can all be wrong, but they can't all be right. Jesus taught that he was the only way to God, and I think that he validated his claim to the immutable fact of resurrection. The opinions of all other religious leaders are equally valid in that they're equally worthless. Those leaders died, they're still dead. Only Jesus had the power to lay down his life and take it up again, and thus his opinion is infinitely more value than all the others. We'll be right back with more.
As our comprehension of the cosmos continues, it's becoming increasingly difficult to deny the signs of a designer. The stunning new film, The Call of the Cosmos: What the Universe Reveals About God, points to a designer with unsurpassed artistry, wisdom, and unfathomable power. It's hard to believe that anyone who watches this film could walk away unconvinced of a creator, making it must-see viewing for believers and skeptics alike. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Call of the Cosmos is an unforgettable exploration of God and the universe. This fascinating film begins with a voyage from Earth to the edge of the observable universe, 45 billion light years away. Through a series of visually stunning vignettes, the filmmakers invite you to consider the origin and structure of the cosmos, along with our significance within it, the mysteries of solar eclipses, an agnostic astronomer's honest recognition of the supernatural designer, and the convergent revelations between nature and scripture. Produced by Illustra Media, this stunning new film provides incontestable evidence of a supernatural designer, putting atheists, agnostics, and philosophers alike on notice. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. www.theoneandonly.org. The new film, The Call of the Cosmos, is a stunning exploration of the universe, God, and his relationship with humanity, showcasing the Lord's creative power through a breathtaking look at the evidence for design and purpose in the cosmos. To receive a copy of The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God for yourself or as a gift to a friend or loved one, simply visit equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Michelle, listening in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, hey. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a question. If you would happen to know anything or have some type of insight on Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. I'm a new Christian, and I've been invited to for a Bible study. The problem is, every time I keep pulling this up, it keeps telling me it's a cult. They tell me it's not. I don't want to get lost.
Well, it's not a cult. In fact, it's pretty interesting that we did a Christian research journal, an expanded journal, actually, which dealt with this very matter. It was the culmination of a six-year research project, and it involved researching both of these individuals that you mentioned, Watchman Nee as well as Witness Lee. Of course, Nee died for his Messiah in a communist prison camp, but his ministry didn't die with him. It was carried on by Witness Lee, and it has become a very vibrant movement all over the world. I would call it a move of the Holy Spirit in that I have met many Christians all over the world that are associated with this move of the Holy Spirit. And in terms of the history with our organization, it's kind of interesting because back in 2003, I asked Gretchen Pasentino and Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, to join me for a meeting with representatives of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee and this move of the Holy Spirit. And during that meeting, I heard stirring affirmations of the very doctrines that they allegedly denied. One by one, and in their own words, representatives of the local churches testified that they believed in one God revealed in three persons who were and are eternally distinct to the reality that human beings can never ontologically attain godhood, and to the fact that they were only the church as opposed to being the only church. And the reason I mentioned those three factors is those are typically the factors that are used to designate the local churches, or the recovery as they're called, as a cult. But they're anything but a cult. I mean, I don't agree with them on many secondary issues, but I stand shoulder to shoulder with them in the battle for life and truth. In fact, in doing the research project on them, I have met some of the finest examples of Christianity from both the perspective of life and truth that I have anywhere in the world.
Okay, that helps a lot. I Googled things, and it just kept coming up as a cult.
Well, look, here's what happens when you Google this. You're going to find stuff that's simply false. For example, you'll see the following declaration that is attributed to them. We the believers are begotten of God. You can find this on the web all the time. I'm very, very familiar with it. We the believers are begotten by God. What is begotten of man is man. What is begotten of God must be God. We are born of God, and therefore, in that sense, we are God. Now, what is neglected from the statement that you'll find on the web is a qualifier, which is, nevertheless, we must know that we do not share God's person and cannot be worshipped by others. Only God himself has the person of God and can be worshipped by man. Not only so, but as they go on to make clear, it is a great heresy to say that we are made like God in his Godhead, because from eternity to eternity, God remains the same in his essence, but in his economy, the triune God, is processed. Believers are infused with the life of God, and they're, in that sense, deified through a process involving regeneration, sanctification, renewing, transformation, confirmation, and glorification. The point here is that if you get what you find on the web in isolation, you can think, well, this sounds very cultic, to say the least. But if you see the qualification, you recognize that it's thoroughly biblical.
Okay. Alrighty, I surely appreciate it, and like that just helped me so much to know that, you know, I can go ahead and keep going with this Bible group and start to learn.
Yeah, and you can go to equip.org and search for local church, and you can find all of the resources that we have put together. I've written on this personally. As I said, we did an expanded edition of the Christian Research Journal, in which we actually put three words on the cover, which is, we were wrong. And that's precisely true with our organization. We misunderstood the recovery for many, many years. It took actually sitting down and dialoguing and then doing first-rate primary research on this group for us to get it right ourselves.
Okay, great. I certainly will go check that out.
Well, thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bill, listening in Cincinnati, Ohio, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Hank. I appreciate your broadcast. I don't always agree with you, but as you have stated before, we can debate but not divide on the non-essentials. My question today, though, is pretty straightforward. In Matthew 22:29, Jesus said to the Sadducees, "You know neither the scriptures or the power of God." And I cannot find anywhere in the Old Testament to which scriptures he is referring.
Well, you know, the thing about this is that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were denying that Jesus was the one who walked through the doorway of the Old Testament scriptures, and therefore they did not understand the import of the scriptures. And another way, I think you have a play on words, because the Sadducees used to talk about resurrection, the raising up of the dead. They were interested in marriage as the way of raising up descendants for a man who had died without issue so as to perpetuate his name. And Jesus points to the fact that this limits the power of God. So this is an example of how they were distorting the scriptures to their own destruction. But the biggest distortion of all is the one that I alluded to in saying that they did not rightly discern that only Jesus could walk through the doorway of the Old Testament prophets, and they didn't rightly discern that because they didn't want to rightly discern that, because to do so would have been to give up their own station in life. And they didn't want to give up temple, priest, and sacrifice. They did not want to give up their high positions. And therefore, though the temple was in their midst, and demonstrably the temple in their midst, they wanted to continue on with luminous limestone and glistening gold, as opposed to recognizing that Jesus had arrived, God incarnate in their midst. And he demonstrated that he was God through the immutable fact, not only of his resurrection, but the miracles that he was doing at the very time in their midst, which they, of course, attributed to Beelzebub, the prince of demons. So they did not discern Christ in their midst, but it was because they did not understand the power of the Word of God, and they limited the power of God.
That's an excellent answer, Hank. I guess I was looking at it a little bit too narrowly, and I think you put it in a much broader context. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Do remember that Monday through Friday at this time, we answer calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and there's a reason we do that. It is not to demonstrate mental acumen or to win arguments. It is to demonstrate the Bible always corresponds to reality. If we don't know an answer, here's what you do. You say, let me research and return. And in doing that, you become an ever sharper tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit in the process of changing the lives of people for time and for eternity. And that's what this is all about. It's all about building the kingdom, not by might, nor by power, but by His Spirit. So we do what we do because life and truth matter. It's not just about truth. Just like the menu isn't just about the menu, it points to the meal. It's about life and truth. It's about truth pointing to the life that we can experience, the engrafted life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And therefore, again, what we do is not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. And we do it not in isolation, we do it in community. And this is why we ask you to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. It is a battle, but it is the most worthwhile of all battles, for through this battle, through the perseverance, we are laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. So we ask you to join us prayerfully and financially. When you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries with your ongoing support. In appreciation, you receive a personalized copy of any one of my books, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We can talk to one of our resource consultants as you give, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answers Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.